All right. We put a picture here of a young man with his briefcase running, jumping from coin to coin because somebody is setting a path for him to follow. And if he, you see, his thoughts are all about money. He is running after money. Even money that is falling from the sky, he is paying attention only to the money on the ground. So he is not looking for the blessings that come from above. He is just pursuing a path that he has to get it no matter what. So we put this picture together just to talk about greed. Pastor, this is a wonderful season. Why are we going to talk about a subject like greed? It is it's not a very good topic. Many people, they don't feel very comfortable about when somebody talks about money. There is no time in the year there's more commercials for greed than this season. Everybody is on the journey to get something. But everybody forgets that the season is not about getting. It's supposed to be about giving. Amen. And the best medicine against greed is giving. Amen. We start the season with thanksgiving. And then we forget about the thanks. We forget about the giving. And we look forward for the taking. What are we going to receive? What are you going to give to your children this Christmas? By the way, I'm not here to talk against Christmas. Relax, children. I'm not here to spoil your fun, okay? But I'm here to say something to your parents. Don't use the season. Don't use the season to teach your children how you're supposed to deal with greed. Because sometimes we don't realize, but all the things that we do at home, we are raising children to be greedy. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. And they go up. And they keep saying, I want, I want. And they get a little older, and they still saying, I want, I want, I want. They are entitled to everything. Why? Because they were raised to be greedy. So use this season to plant in the heart of your child that is more blessed the one who gives than the one who receives. If your child goes through this Christmas knowing this principle, this will be indeed a Merry Christmas. Let's look. First, before I give you the title, I have to explain a little bit something. I look in the Bible, and some of you can look in your own Bible, this verse. And it's going to say, the love of money. I chose this text, this version. I'll tell you why. Because I looked in the original, the word in Greek, and actually does not say the love of money. It's saying the fact that you covet. But why I'm not very... I don't like the expression love of money. My wife here knows, I mentioned this a few times, the children knows when I give Bible study, I tell them, we cannot love money. Why? Because money cannot love us back. We live in a society where we love food. I love McDonald's. By the way, I don't. Okay, I love this, I love that. We live in a society that loves everything and loves nothing. And so we misuse the word love a lot. And so that's why I didn't like to put on the screen the love of money, because it's not possible for you to love money, so don't deceive yourself. You cannot love money because money cannot love you back. So it is really the covetousness is the root of all evil, is what you covet. Because you are greedy. And when you're greedy, you're self-worship. That's what greed is all about, is self-worship. Idolatry. Greed is idolatry. And I have a text to show you. Today's message then we entitled, The Wages of Greed. You all are familiar with the Bible verse that says the wages of sin is death. So what do you think will be the wages of greed?
Yeah.
Pain. Pain. Forget about the gain. It's a pain they're going to get. Pain, pain, greed is sorrow. That's what every greed leads to, sorrow. What is greed? Let me give you a dictionary definition that we, most of you know what greed is, but this is just to put it on the screen. Definition of greed is an intense and selfish desire. Basically, that's all it is. It's self-worship. That's what greed is. And it continues. It is an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, money, 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 power. Tell those politicians how they are greedy for power. And food. Have you ever thought about greed in food? Yes. So when you think about greed in food, what do you think that devil used? The first commandment that he used to tempt Adam and Eve. Greed. Take it. Take it. It looks great. Take it. Take it. It doesn't matter what your morals tells you. Just take it. It is there for you to take it. Take it. And you're going to be great. How great. Look, a master is left. Nothing great. Be careful. Do not covet. Can you say with me, please, so the children can hear you well? Do not covet. What it means to be covet, to have a desire, a selfish desire. A selfish desire when you are not concerned about anybody else but just yourself. But I am afraid that your minds will be led away from your true and pure calling of Christ. And this, I'm using this just to remind you, Christmas is about Christ. Tell your child it's about Christ. It's about what God has chosen to give you. It's not about you. He says, but I am afraid that your minds will be led away from your true and pure calling of Christ. Just as Eve was tricked, and Adam. Okay, let's be fair. Eve and Adam was tricked by the snake with his evil ways. And his evil ways are still in present. By the way, it's very important that you spend money on Christmas. Why? Because there's somebody out there that will keep their job, will have a job if we spend, if we buy. Buy something and give something to somebody. That's fine. It's part of the economy. We all are influenced, affected by the economy. It's important for us to make our money circulate. If you put in a little box and you put under your bed, it won't do you any good. You die and then somebody looks under your bed and, Merry Christmas. They get all your money and they're going to go and party with it. A greedy person causes trouble. Interesting. What it means? A greedy person causes trouble. A person who only thinks about themselves is always a troublemaker. Do you agree? A person that is self-centered, doesn't think about anybody else, always are around trouble and cause trouble. But the one who trusts the Lord will succeed. Children, look at this verse. A greedy person causes trouble, but the one who trusts God will succeed. Jesus said this, be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much you have, how much you can keep, how much you put in the bank, how much you have in your bank account, your savings, or whatever all the investments you may have. Your life is not measured by how much you have. Be careful, Jesus' words, advice for us. No one can serve two masters. We all know this, right? When Jesus Christ said this. When he was talking about this, he was talking about people who are pretending to serve God and yet are greedy. They are really worship themselves. A person will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other one. You cannot serve both God and worldly riches. You cannot serve God and be greedy. Greedy people only worship themselves. Let your conduct be without competence. I have a hard time pronouncing this word. Competence. You mean there. You may be fine. Be content with such things as you have. I like when Paul says, I have learned to be content. I have been rich, I'm poor, and I have learned that it's not how much you have or whether you have not, is the fact that you are content for what the Lord has provided you. For he himself, who is he himself? You know, I capitalize, I put that collar, so that when you see that collar, you see capitalized, you know that we talk about the Lord, right? For he himself has said, I will not leave you. Who is you? Me. Right? I will never leave you as a promise, nor forsake you. So don't be, what about this foolishness that you are so desperate to get more and more and more? God says, don't worry about it. I will provide for you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and everything else. He says also in Matthew, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Some people give him much. And then what happened? They go poor, right? A person who gives a lot, a person who is faithful and tithe and offering, the person who is always giving, they go broke. That's the fear that people have. Sometimes people use that excuse. Oh, Pastor, I don't return my tithe. No, it's not yours. It's already wrong, the expression. I don't return to God because, look, I have five cars. I have a mortgage or three houses, and I don't have enough to give to God. Some people give much, but get back even more. That's not Pastor Elton saying this. It's somebody much bigger than I am. Others don't give what they should and end up poor. Proverbs 11:24. It looks almost like a poem, right? Some people give much, but get back even more. Others don't give what they should and end up poor. Yeah, it's a good, it rhymes.
Yeah.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, or if it is from the evil one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Now, so put to death the simple earthly thing lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is what? That's what I said from the beginning. Is idolatry. That's what greed is all about. When you have your worship in the things of this world, your worship in yourself. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, New Living Translation. Now, money has come easily. I don't know how many of you have seen how much gambling is in the world today. It is... You talk about pandemic because we're in on COVID and everything else, and it says the pandemic is so terrible, it has killed a million people. Look, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to say that this is not a serious thing. But there is a pandemic, a very serious pandemic, a moral decay of our society. We live in a society that more people want to get something for free from everybody else. That is greedy. If some people think that greedy is a sin just for the rich, no, every human being can be greedy. Thou shalt not covet was written for everybody. It was not just for those that have, owns a palace or so many billions that they cannot even count anymore. Now it's talking about everyone. Money does come easily. I don't know how many of you have seen on news somebody who won the lottery. By the way, folks, it is sin to covet. And to play lottery is a way to covet. Okay? Please be aware, gambling is sin. If you gamble with your life, if you gamble with your money, if you gamble with anything, it is sin. You may not hear this in another church, but over here you will, because that's what the Lord says. It's clear. Don't think as it's all. But pastor, if I win $1 million, I'll help to fix that church. I'll tear this church down and build a new one here. If the Lord will bless me with. Yeah. Who's going to believe that? Maybe. Money that. And you think that will convince God to cover his eyes and say, okay, you can get more money because you don't have anything. That's not the way it works. Money that comes easily. What happens to money that comes easily? Why? Because things that we do not work for, we are not very careful. If we are not careful to earn, we are not careful to spend. Why there are some people in a family that spends more money than others? Usually are those that do not work. I'm not saying this. I'm not putting anybody down. Please don't take me out of a contact and create a situation here. But usually people that do not work, usually it's easier for them to spend the money. Look the children of rich people, especially those that never have worked one day, even when they ask to clean their room, it's ask the servant. Money that comes easily disappears quickly. But money that is gathered little by little will grow.
Amen.
Proverbs, again, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom there. I wish that if I would have a chance to sit down with my children now, I would ask them, please at least read once the whole book of Proverbs. You'll be amazed how impact that it will cause in your young one. Motivate them. Do something to motivate them to read. The Proverbs has a lot of wisdom that can be very practical in life. Choose a good reputation over great riches. In other words, it's better to be honorable and poor than miserable and very rich. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have seen on the news people that they are stinking rich. Forgive me my expression. They are rotten. They are so rich that they don't know. They have no idea what the word need means. And yet they are miserable. Their children on drugs are killing themselves, commit suicide, and they have no life. So what is all that money for? How many parents spend all their lives running after money and let their children lose? And then they lose the money and they cannot run after the children either because the children will be too far. Choose a good reputation. A good name is more valuable than any fortune that you can put together. It is better for you to say, who is going there? Or a very honorable person. Who is going there? A very rich person. But he is evil. He is bad. So a good name is better. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. Proverbs again, 21, verse 1. Now, going back to November the 5th, when we present this subject to all of you, who is this little girl? This little girl was a slave. Somebody was held against her will, taken to another country, and forced to serve. Not for wages, just for food. Naaman's house, she was taken there. She was a captive young girl. And if you keep reading the story, it says she was taken against her will. So this girl has every reason to be miserable and to hate Naaman and his wife, because she was taken from her family. She said instead, full of compassion, she said, if my master, she called him master, if he will go to Samaria, there is a man of God there that actually can cure him. Isn't it beautiful how I wish that we all adults, that's what Jesus Christ says, if we all could be like children. And with all this, you know, they took away from my mom. I miss my mom. I miss my brothers and my siblings. She was there, held against her will. And yet all she could think is about how to do good, how to give these people a chance. And you know the rest of the story. We're not going to go through the story. To remind us so we can catch up with what I'm about to present next. Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, was highly respected and esteemed by the king of Syria. Why? Because he conquered so many battles, so many new territories for Syria that the king loved him. Why? Because he makes me look good. And he conquered all the countries, and the countries have to pay tax. And one of the countries that he conquered was Israel, the North Kingdom, and they have to pay every year tribute. And it says, he was a great soldier, but he suffered from a terrifying skin disease, leprosy. So in one of their raids, he talked about a girl, and then the girl told them, he would cure him of his disease. Now, we know the story. He talked to the king. The king gave a letter. An order to the king of Israel. Says, cure him. I love this guy. You better cure him or else. And that's exactly how the king of Israel in Samaria understood. Am I God? He said. How can he send me this man to cure? I'm not God. And yet, right close by him, there was a man of God, performed many miracles. Isn't it sad when sometimes we live a life and the blessing is right there, close to us, and we are not even aware of them? He was not a good king, I can tell. He returned to Elijah with all the men and said, now I know that there is God. This is when after he was healed, he went. He did what he had to do, baptized himself 7 times in the muddy water of the Jordan. He comes out. And there is something that I'd like to share with you. I mentioned a little bit. You know what the Bible says? You can read the whole story from verses 1 into the end of the chapter, not only 17, but it continues afterwards. It says that when he came out of the water, his skin was like a little kid. Do you know what happens? Sometimes when we read this story, we say, oh, his skin was a very good-looking skin. No wrinkles, no burning from the sun or anything else. Just like a little kid. How many of you here work in the medical field? Nurses? Okay. What happens to the skin? How can a skin maintain young and beautiful and healthy? All the internal organs have to be working properly in order for the skin to be that. So when he went to that water there, it was not just, God didn't say, okay, just a second, let me remove this little, no. He didn't remove just the leprosy. God gave him a complete rebuild. He rebuilt his entire system. He was able, from that miracle, to live many extra years in his life. So when God does something, he does complete. And then he came so, look at his kids, oh, I look good. You know, he was happy, very happy. And he went back to the men of God and decided, look, I have close to $5 million. We made a calculation of all the gold and silver and the clothes, close to $5 million in today's money. We've got to be quick because the inflation may eat all that. They're so quick. So I may got to say $8 million because of inflation. And so he says, now I know that there is God. There's God. The only God of Israel is God. So please accept a gift from me. What did the prophet say? Elisha answered what? This is a great opportunity. Do you know what I'm going to do, Brother Cleveland? Do you know what we can do with 5 million here?
Yeah.
Right? Elijah could say, you know what? I'm not going to use for me. I'm going to take, but I'm not going to use for me. I'm going to use to, there are so many poor people in my country. I can open an orphanage. Sometimes we disguise our greed. We put a nice paint to it. We dress our greed very nicely with a justification. And then we grab. And we walk around thinking that we are okay because we have a good reason to be greedy. But Elijah knew better. He was a man of God. But the living Lord, whom I serve, who pays his wages? Who paid the men of God, Elisha, who paid his wages? He says, the living Lord, he paid my wages, not you, Syrian. I don't want your junk, your stuff. It shines, but it has no glory. The glory that I want, it comes from above. That will make shine, not just for a few days, but forever. He says, I swear that I will not accept a gift, a bribe, because that's what it was implied. If he has accepted a payment, that was his doing, not God's doing. And Elijah wants to say clearly, this is not my doing. I didn't do anything for you. He did. Pay him, don't pay me. You addressed the wrong person. I haven't done anything for you. He did. Go and pay him. Name and insisted. And boy, they are persistent. And the devil is persistent. He knocks and knocks and knocks until he knocks you down. He is persistent. As we say in Espanol, muy temoso, terco, yeah, persistent, but he would not accept. So Naaman said, okay, if you want to accept my gift, so give me a gift then. And here is interesting. This man comes with a lot of animals, thousands of pieces of gold, of silver, came in the finest clothes, you know, come from Paris, you know, all the best clothing ever. And then what did he says? Why then, let me take some, have 2 mule loads of earth, dust. You see the contrast? He's coming with gold and silver, and the prophet says, no. He says, you know what? Your dust, where God is worshipped, is worth more than gold. That's the message. You see, he says, where the Lord stands is more precious than any gold that I can offer from Syria. Because from now on, I will not offer sacrifice or burn offerings to any god in any ground, but in the ground where God is. So since I have to live there, I cannot live here. I like to take a little piece of here, so when I'm there, I feel like here. Because when I'm there, I want to worship the God who healed me here. I want to take a sanctuary with me. Except the Lord is going to be the only one I worship. Brothers and sisters, I wish that everyone over here, as you go through the season, you have this in mind. I am celebrating this Christmas because the Lord that I serve. Not because what I want to receive, but what I'm willing to give. Because I have been receiving. Really, people bring trouble to their families. Really? I think everybody knows this for sure. Greedy people, selfish people, they, you know, divorce is a very, very simple route for those that are greedy. Those that worship themselves. They cannot get along with anybody. By the way, do you know how they call this mirror in a restroom? How they call it? Vanity? Have you ever stopped to think before you look at that mirror what that vanity means? Self-worship.
Yes.
That's what vanity means?
Self-worship.
So next time you see that God on the mirror, run. Don't spend too much time.
Vanity.
Yes, but the people who can be paid to do wrong will live. People that cannot be bribed. People that are... Those are the ones who need. So please be careful. Proverbs 15, verse 20, 27. Really, people bring trouble to their families. Why I put this here? Because what is coming next. This is what I... The wages of greed. The wages. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Ruin and destruction are the wages of greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. For covetousness, avarice, is the root of all evil, which when we... fall after. They err from the faith. They leave the faith and tangle themselves into many sorrows. That's the wages. First Timothy 6:10. New Matthew Bible. Valley of Vision. Anybody here have an idea who is named in the Bible Valley of Vision? It's a name that many people cannot even pronounce.
Gehazi.
You know, that's him. Second Kings, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 18 to 27 tells a sad part of his life. Dreams. Into grief. That's the way it goes. Now, here's a text where you find talks about him. Another one talks about him. Another one talks about him. Another one talks about him. These are the five that mentions him. You know what is interesting about this? Is that when it talks about him, if you read this, almost every time talks about him, there's a miracle close by. So he saw many miracles. One of them is when the Syrians came to attack Samaria, and the prophet made all the soldiers to be blind. And Gehazi said, "Oh, let's kill them, let's destroy them." He said, "No, that's not what you do. You put the food in front of them, you treat them well, and send them away. And so they did that. They sent them away. Now, that moment when this young man was so afraid because there were so many Syrians trying to surround the city, he says, "Oh, my man of God, what is going to do now?" And Elijah prayed and says, "Lord, open the eyes of the young man." And this is my prayer to this morning as well. Lord, please open the eyes of the young people that is here today, so that they learn lessons in life and do not. Here's an example for you all young people. This young man, he was supposed to be the next Elijah. He was supposed to be, the title that was reserved for him was the man of God. He was being trained to be the man of God. And yet, his story is sad because after the prophet says, "I will not take." No. Take your stuff, go back. I don't want. By God, I will not. This is what he did. When he heard what the prophet did, he went to talk to his family. And he said, "Really? All that money? Can you do something about it?" He said, "Yeah." And they advised him, and he ran. He went after Naaman as he was traveling back with all those two mules full of the dust from Israel, and plus all that silver and gold going back. So he ran and said, "My master has sent me. He said, Elisha changed his mind." Remember, he swear to God that he was not going to take it. So now he is destroying the reputation of his own master because he was greedy. He says, "My master has sent me." He was lying. "Indeed," he says, "just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Oh, they are so much great need. They need some of this. Would you just spare a little bit? You don't need to give the whole 5 million. Just a little bit so we can go and provide for the need. Please give them a talent of silver and two chains of garments." So Naaman said, "Please, take 2 talents. Remember how many talents he brought with him. He was willing to give everything. So just 2. Nothing. Take it, those 2 pennies. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 chains of garments and hand them to the 2 servants, and they carried them all ahead of him. All the scheme. He dishonored God. He betrayed God. He betrayed his master that loved him and was dedicated to teach his teacher. He lied, and with all the approval and participation of his family. Now, do you know what happened? You can read the rest of the story by yourself, but I'm going to just say to you. When he then went back, of course, he didn't say, "Oh, I have so much." No, he came to life and everything was fine. And Elisha told him, "What happened?" "What do you mean, what happened? Where have you been?" "Oh, here and there." "No," he says, "you covet the riches of Naaman. So you're going to get what belongs to Naaman. And leprosy that was in Naaman now is with him. And not only that, but I said, with you and your family until all of you die. The wages of greed." Sometimes we're so preoccupied with another pizza that I have to buy that I don't have. I don't have enough to return my God's tithe. Another clothes that I have to buy, another car, so that I cannot be faithful. The Bible says, do not rob God. Do you know this guy?
Yeah.
Have you heard about him before?
Yes.
Do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? I said, do you know what he is? Because he's still in the grave. He still is. Until the last judgment when everybody will no longer be, he's still there in the grave waiting for his judgment. Greed into grief. That's what happened in his life. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of a nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. This, in John 12, 3-6, but Judas had an opinion. He said, you know, he's the one who soon, she was anointing him for his death. It was just a few days before Jesus was crucified. So this is what Judas said next. He says, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. In today's language, do you know what Judas said? Huh, what a waste. Basically, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Why you waste something so expensive to wash his feet? Don't you use water? We can give this to the poor. Poor me, he would say, look, not that Judas cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he was the treasurer, he often stole some for himself. Ouch. This is a very sad part of the scripture. Isn't it? He helped himself little by little. And then, you know what happened later, a few days later? He sold his master. Now, what about Ananias and Sapphira? What was the problem with them? Greed. They went to church, but they didn't care much about the church. So they lied. They lied to whom? Who did they lie to? According to Acts chapter 5, it says, they lied to God. And that's one part in the Bible that says the Holy Spirit is God. Because it says, you lie to the Holy Spirit, you lie to God. Yes, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God. And what happens to them? And some of you may say, oh, God killed them. No, God didn't. Abaddon did. The moment that they pushed God's hand away from them, they became an easy game for Satan. And Satan, why Satan killed them? Because Satan wants everybody to believe that God did. And so people come to church now and say, "Ooh, here's my money, don't kill me." God does not want anybody to come to church because you are afraid of the consequence. God wants you to come to church and give because you have learned how to give. Not because you are afraid. Do you have an idea who this young man was? This individual supposed to have one book here in the Bible. He's supposed to be one of the champions of Christianity. If he had done, because he was a very highly educated individual, but he loved money too much. The Bible says, when Jesus told him, go sell everything and follow me, be my disciple, basically what Jesus Christ said, be my disciple, he said, I can't. I cannot follow the jewel that you are, because I have another diamond in my backyard that I want to care for. Another, I want my riches. And he was, the Bible says, he didn't follow Jesus because he was too rich. Actually, he was very poor. He is one of the poorest persons in the Bible. Because, you know, what makes somebody good in business is when you see opportunity to earn with the money that you have and you know how to invest. But many people don't do well with finances because they don't know how to invest. They don't know opportunity. Sometimes they put too much risk. Sometimes they are too greedy and they invest and they put themselves at risk. One point that I'd like to make quickly. Do you know in the world now there's more scams than ever. There are people right now that are making billions of dollars by just sitting in front of a computer, pretend to be somebody else, and generating schemes to rob people. Do you gain anything if you win the whole world?
No.
But lose your eternal life? Of course not. That's what the Bible says, Mark 8:36. Do you gain anything if you win the whole world and lose your eternal life? Some version says, and lose your soul. By the way, that's not a good version, okay? Because you cannot lose your soul. You don't have soul. You are a soul. Thank you. So that's why I use this version here, because it's very clear. It's talking about your eternal life, your life. James 4:17 says, remember, it is sin to know what you must do and choose not to do. And then you do not do it. They are blessed whose thoughts are pure, for they shall see God. I want to see God, do you?
Yes.
So don't be greedy.
Amen.
Give. Remember the best word in Christianity? What is the best and one of the most beautiful words in the Christianity? Forgive. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. It's all about giving, folks.
Amen.
No greed. Greedy people only bring trouble to themselves and to their families, everybody around. Remember, covetousness is idolatry. Worship God. Give. God bless.